I'm Phil Glover from Mount Roland Free Range and Carina Farm.
Hi, I'm Angela. I'm obviously the partner of Phil.
I want to start at the beginning for both of you. Where did your farming journey begin?
For me, farming began when I was 5 years old and Dad went to King Island to share farm dairy cows and was over there for 5 years, and then we came back to Tasmania to the northwest. Then I started working on farms as a farm labourer when I left school and learned to shear and had 7 seasons of professional shearer until the downturn in the wool industry, and then we started looking for employment elsewhere and I got a job at Lacrim at Smithton milking cows, and that was the beginning of our actual proper journey to get our own farm. We worked as myself and Angel worked as labourers on dairy farms for a couple of years and they proceeded to rear calves and build a herd of cows, and in 7 years we owned 500 dairy cows, and at the end of which we sold most of the cows and bought the small farm which we got at Sheffield. Yeah, it was just a hobby farm for a while. We did some other things for a while. We was looking for another business, and we was rearing purebred poultry as a bit of a sideline, selling to the backyard layer market, and we went to buy some young birds off a free-range egg farm at Forth that was closing down at the time. We got talking to the guy there, and he was saying how it was going really good and a sort of an up-and-coming thing, and we made a few more inquiries to the DPI and another egg producer, and his sort of take on things was the same, that there was a huge demand and there wasn't enough people doing it to supply the demand. So we started off with 350 layers 11 years ago, and now we have 3,000. And it's, yeah, we haven't looked back at that. And 4 years ago, we started our own herd of cows, and we've just been grading up from dairy cross animals to hoping to get to a more straighter line of Speckle Park breeding cows.
What about you, Ange? Where did farming start for you?
Basically, when I met Phil, really. I was a little bit of a town person, so yeah. Met Phil and he sort of taught me all about farming, and it was a new experience for me. So yeah, it was great. It was so totally what I was not used to.
So the two of you started out share farming in Circular
Head. That's correct,
yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually you worked for a corporation?
Yeah, the last 3 years we were share farm. We 50-50 share farm with what was called TasAgden, which was a New Zealand corporation which bought Woolnorth at the time, and I think they had 12 or 13 farms outside Woolnorth.
And at some point, something changed for the two of you. You didn't want to do this model anymore, which is really common in Circular Head. And a lot of people, you know, it suits a lot of people, but it didn't suit the two of you. What happened?
Well, we got to a stage where the farm was on. We couldn't grow anymore on that, so I was looking at probably having to step up, and the options at the time were probably step up to a 1,000-cow farm at Woolnorth, which wasn't really what we wanted to do. Plus, we was wanting to be more independent. So it was in our mind that we'd try and lease a farm or sell our cows and buy another farm. A small farm come up. We milked cows there for 7 or 8 years, and it got to the stage it wasn't big enough to be viable anymore. And we had a couple of runoff blocks we used to lease, and then the tree farms come in and took them over. So we just thought, well, this is not viable anymore. So we sold our cows and changed over to beef, and then went into adjustment, and we done a few other things for a while. Yeah,
that seems to be a problem that you faced a few times in your life. It wasn't big enough. You'd have to become profitable, you have to expand.
Yeah, grow. Yeah.
But the farm you're on now is 150 acres,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah, that's the total of the two places, yeah.
And it's far more profitable than it ever was
absolutely,
past.
Yeah, yeah.
What's been the secret? What's changed?
I think the worldwide change in like what consumers want, like obviously people want to know where their food come from, and at the time it was right for us to move, you know, when we started the free-range eggs. Plus a term that's used is called layering, where we're doing well more than one thing on that land. Like if we was just a standalone running beef, it wouldn't be viable, or sheep, or, you know, once again, if it was milking cows, it wouldn't be viable. But by having the chickens, the eggs, the income from the eggs, the beef, and then we've also got the B&Bs and the barn, which we do weddings in and have some other things, we've diversified. So that's something I learnt when I was shearing. I used to shear on a lot of crop farms. And during the 80s and that, the crop farms seemed to not, in the 90s, didn't seem to go through the ups and downs quite the same you've seen with the dairy. But the big thing that stood out to me was they were diversified. You know, nearly every crop farm grew multiple crops, and they had beef and they had sheep. So they're quite diversified compared to a dairy farm.
Speaking of diversity, one of the newer arms of the business is the accommodation, the tourism side, which is kind of your realm, Ange.
Yeah. A few years ago, we just decided whether we take on Carinya next door, which obviously consists of two B&Bs at the time. I could see the potential in what we could achieve, possibly. I like to think outside the box and I like to be very creative. So I said to Phil, I've got an idea, and he cringes every time I say that.
More money, here we go.
Well, so obviously from there, we cracked a few numbers and we obviously purchased the farm. And so obviously we've taken this on and I suppose updated the B&Bs a little bit and turned the old homestead there into a B&B as well. So enables us to cater for 14 people total to stay at our B&Bs. And then the barn, obviously, we seen that and, yeah, that sort of sent me into a whirlspin. Obviously, I could see the creativity there and what we could do to the old barn.
Many people look at a rundown old barn and think, wow.
Yeah, it's just got lots of character. And I just thought, well, I'd love to turn this into a wedding venue. And that's where it all started. So then the challenge was there and obviously we've poured our hearts and souls into it, created this magic. They come here and they're pretty blown away with what we've created, I guess.
So you've got this barn here, you've got the Airbnbs, you've got animals running around, poultry of all colours and sizes and shapes.
Yep.
Has that been a fairly big investment on your part?
Yeah, it has been, yeah. We had to borrow money to purchase the property, but we've done most of what we've done has been done through cash flow. We're pretty lucky that we owned our previous farm, so that was threefold. And the chicken business was so strong that even during COVID when we couldn't have any guests here, we still had a cash surplus that we could, once we paid our loan commitments off, we could put that into these projects, yeah.
So you could still upgrade, because really you opened just before COVID, which is not great time.
No, it was the worst.
That was a bit of a worry at the time, yeah, because we went basically to zero income off this property. But once again, you know, being diversified, that diversity gives us that opportunity that it worked out that at the time, like anything to do with chickens went through the roof. Like we sold 2,000 cold for aged layers in 10 days for $10 each, you know, so that was a pretty big cash injection at the time when things were looking pretty grim. And the demand for eggs, like we lost nearly 50% of our customers, which were restaurants and cafes, because of the COVID restrictions, they basically weren't trading. So that was like all of a sudden we looked like we lost half our egg sales and all our income from B&Bs. But within a few weeks, the demand for eggs through retail just went through the roof. So
So are you in the black with this place?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So within 4 years and through a pandemic where everything shut down.
Yep.
Wow.
We like to turn a negative into a positive all the time. We'd never, ever give up.
If this was a standalone, just the Carinya Farm side of it with the barn and the B&Bs, even without the chickens being part of it, the income from the B&Bs, the barn and the cattle, or the percentage of cattle that this place would run, of the herd, it's, we're cash flow positive in that.
Wow. Mm. What's next for this little? What else? I don't know if you can jam anything more on this 150.
Of course, we can, can't we, Phil?
Yeah. I suppose some of it's probably a little bit more fine tuning now. It's
micromanagement.
One of the big things on the farm now. Our big drive is to get more trees on the farm because our farm's virtually got hardly any. Well, it has now, but 3 years ago, it hardly had any trees on it. And we've all, you know, from the day we come here, I've always wanted to put more trees in, but because of cash, finance issues, it was always put on the back burner. There's always something else that needs money, but now we're sort of in a more positive cash flow situation. You know, we've got money to put trees in and fence them off and manage them. So and that's for the benefit of the animals more so, because it's we're very windy here, so it gives them shade and shelter from the wind.
Now, Ange, a few years ago you married a farmer. Did you ever expect that you would find such a creative life living on a farm like you have?
Definitely not, no. It's opened up lots of opportunities and it's a great experience bringing the kids up on the farm and just, learning something totally different to what I knew. Yeah, it was meant to be.
And Phil, for you, did you ever see yourself managing an accommodation business?
No, no. No.
Definitely not. He tries to stay away from that part.
Still not managing an accommodation business. Stick to the farming.
Yeah, yeah.